Bird extinctions. Ecologists warn us that we are now in the Earth's sixth great extinction episode. Plants and animals are apparently going extinct at a rate that is between 100 and 1,000 times the natural rate of extinction before human dominance of the Earth's ecosystems. The five earlier episodes were caused by massive natural disruptions of the Earth's ecological processes, including collisions with asteroids, changes to the Earth's climate through geological processes such as volcanic eruptions, and changes in the characteristics of the Earth's orbit. The current episode of mass extinctions is the only one in which one species has pushed the others over the cliff. It is estimated that perhaps a quarter of all of the Earth's species of birds have been driven to extinction by human activities over the past two millennia. We should not be entirely surprised, though we should bemoan and curb our own destructiveness. Human activity is, after all, devoted quite explicitly to ensuring that habitat, water supply, nutrient flows, and introduced species all serve human needs rather than the needs of other species. Marine fisheries. Traditional hunter-gatherer societies, including those before the age of agriculture and the tiny numbers of such tribes that survive today, hunted with bows, arrows, and poisoned darts. In the industrial age, the global fishing industry constitutes the main hunting and gathering activity. Fishing fleets scour the seas and the seabeds for valuable marine life, with little to no responsibility for replenishing what they take. The result has been compared to hunters and gatherers with machine guns. The natural prey is simply no match for the incredible power and technology of modern fishing fleets, complete with fish nets that stretch for miles and satellite-based tracking of open sea schools of fish. As a recent study shows, perhaps two-thirds or more of the world's major marine fisheries are fully exploited, overexploited, or depleted. Rising pressures. Today's rates of economic activity, if they were to be maintained at current rates into the future with current technologies, would be environmentally unsustainable. Yet both population and income per capita are rising rapidly. The pressures on the ecological systems are intensifying, and development and dissemination of sustainable technologies are far too slow. If we do little more than scale up what we are consuming today, we will drive many of the planet's ecosystems and countless species to the point of collapse. The most famous early doomsday prediction came in 1798 from the Reverend Thomas Malthus, who noted that populations tend to rise geometrically, in compounded multiples, while food production only rises arithmetically, in added increments. Populations would be held in check mainly by misery. Gains in productivity, Malthus opined, would be quickly swallowed up by further population growth, which would drive temporary advances in living standards back down to subsistence. Thus, for Malthus, humankind was condemned to wipe out any temporary gain in living standards through excess population growth. This Malthusian gloom has remained a constant source of debate and controversy. Certainly, Malthus failed to anticipate the industrial age, with its geometric advances in productivity that kept well ahead of geometric advances in population. Since that notorious failure of doomsaying, some economists have become inveterate optimists, reassuring themselves, the public, and the politicians that improvements in technology will invariably come along to save the day. They have sought to banish Malthus to the scrap heap of faulty predictions, and they could be right yet again, but certainly not if we navigate these risks on autopilot. The optimists have two huge points in their favor. The first is the likelihood that the global population will stabilize in this century. Malthus certainly could not anticipate the rise of modern contraception and the ready uptake of contraception in most societies in the world. The second cause for optimism is that technological advancement continues to be rapid and is probably accelerating. The revolutions in computing, data management, ecological science, spatial modeling, materials science, including nanotechnology, and other areas of knowledge all suggest that technologies, at least potentially, can rescue us and the planet yet again. The science and technology can be harnessed. The harder question is whether we will be well organized enough and cooperative enough on a global scale to seize the chance. Yet we must not be complacent. The global population continues to rise rapidly, as does the average economic activity per person. And just as important, the severe pressures from massive human appropriation of ecosystem services, land, water, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, and the rest, would be challenging enough if they were occurring in just one of the areas, but they are now occurring simultaneously on every front. Take virtually any habitat on the planet, and we find that the non-human species in it are under unprecedented stress for multiple reasons. Their habitats are being overtaken by cropland, pollution, overhunting and overharvesting, invasive species, and new pests and pathogens. And when disastrous thresholds are reached, such as the mass die-off of amphibian species in many parts of the world, there are so many specific culprits that a single cause cannot be established. The massive threats to species survival is not due to land clearing or water stress or pollution or invasive species alone, but to all of them combined, with interacting and amplifying effects. Will coral reefs survive the 21st century? And if not, what will do them in? Global warming will raise ocean temperatures and lead to massive coral bleaching, in which the corals expel the microalgal organisms that give the corals their dazzling colors and often die.